This is the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show, brought to you by Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Farrah & Farrah, Brooks Rehabilitation, Wells Fargo, Geico, Sonny's Barbecue, Cars.com, your local Jacksonville Teal Deals merchants, and by Everbank. Now, to get things started, here's Cole Pepper.
Now, the Jaguars lose to the Houston Texans 20-13 in a game that finished with both backup quarterbacks in, I should say third-string quarterback in technically for the Texans. Matt Leinart, who was the backup, started the game, went out with an apparent a collarbone injury, and now it's T.J. Yates who finished the game. Jaguars, let's start with the positives, Marco Coleman. Jaguars defense, with five starters not in there because of injuries, really did a fine job. Granted, it wasn't against Schaub, but they still did a very good job giving the Jaguars a chance.
Yeah, I mean, you figure the opening play, although the fumble was caused by Posnuzny, the actual play was caused by Deuceable getting that great push and back up. And then you have Yobody coming in, recovering the fumble. So here it is, two backups that actually caused a big play on that defense that created the opportunity for the team to have a score.
Jaguars held the Texans to 215 yards today, just 88 yards rushing in the game. Couple of big breakouts for Arian Foster, had that 43-yarder for sure, but he finished only averaging 3 yards per game running the football. I don't think you can ask anything more out of the Jaguars defense.
You can. I mean, just a little bit of offense would have made a huge difference in this game. I mean, and not to get any, the defense definitely hats off to him. I think it's only fair to have the other team with their third-string quarterback when you got five starters missing off the defense. I think it was fairly even when you look at it that way.
All right, so the next question, and we'll spend some time talking about this here on the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show, is the quarterback. Blaine Gabbert sacked, five or six times?
Seven. Well, he was sacked six times.
He was sacked six times,
right.
And lifted for Luke McCown. He looked like a guy who was just shell-shocked.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's a rookie. You go back to history of all the great quarterbacks. At some point in time, they had days like this. But those great coaches allowed them to go in and take those lumps. They have to learn in a situation. Because mm-hmm. There's going to be a time when he gets further along in his career where he's going to have to fight through a day like this.
So you think Jack Del Rio should have kept Gabbert in there, let him learn the school of hard knocks?
Especially the way they went about the offense. You figure they had trouble with the two-minute offense all season long. Here it is. You're going hurry up now. Mm-hmm. Now here's another opportunity for learning. You know, and every snap he gets, I don't think staying on the sideline helped him at all in this situation.
All right. Mercedes Lewis with the drop. We talked about that at halftime. The Jaguars dropped a couple of key passes today. Cecil Shorts had an opportunity to catch and had a drop. Is this going to end this year? Is this something you think the Jaguars are going to have to put up with? I mean, it's just these drops are going to be the way it's going to be through the end of the year, and it's something that's going to have to get solved in the offseason.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be something that gets solved in the offseason. You figure here we are 11 weeks into the season. It hasn't gotten any better. You know, even with you would think at this point in time with extra time, no, they have to be at practice staying after catching some balls. And if that's it, then it's got to be just a skill. I watch these wide receivers, and the majority of them, except for Dillard, I'm going to say, they all catch the ball coming to their body. Very few times do you see them just catch the ball with their hands. You know, every opportunity, in wide open, they allow the ball to come to their body, which then – allows balls to bounce off the shoulder pads or go through their arms. That's just not good receiving technique.
Now, the Jaguars, with the loss today, fall to 3-8 on the season. This loss also eliminates them from an opportunity to win the AFC South. They cannot now win the AFC South with Houston getting a win today. And, again, just for the sake of accuracy, mathematically, they have not been eliminated from the wild card.
But, you know, really.
That's the math. It's not the practicality. It's
odds
the
are
reality.
Very, very slim. Yeah. Very slim.
A lot of things that have to happen. All right, let's check some other scores from games around the National Football League. Atlanta has beaten Minnesota 24-14. Matt Ryan threw three touchdown passes, including a six-yarder to Roddy White. And the Falcons got the victory at home over Minnesota today. 27 seconds left. In Cincinnati, the battle for Ohio, the Cleveland Browns have the football on their own 26-yard line, trailing by three after Mike Nugent has banged three field goals in here in the second half. And on a 3rd-and-10 play in the fourth quarter, Colt McCoy is going to have to try to make something big here, certainly in four-down territory, as the Browns try to chip their way back and try to get into field goal range for a potential long field goal for Phil Dawson. Now with less than 20 seconds remaining in the ballgame, Cleveland has a 4th and 6 facing them with 22 seconds now left in that one. Colts, still the big goose egg. And the loss today, 27-19, despite Curtis Painter finding Reggie Wayne, who was able to weave his way through the Panthers' defense for a 56-yard touchdown. 27-19, Carolina beats Indianapolis today, and Indy is still winless. All right, let's head to the locker room now. Jeff Loggeman has our coach's report brought to you by Bubba Burgers. Jeff, take it away.
All right, thank you, Cole. And Jack, certainly a disappointing game offensively. You guys just couldn't seem to get things going there, and you make a change there in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean, just looking for a spark. You know, we feel like we've got good design. We feel like we've got some opportunities to do some things. And, you know, just really looking for a spark. Thought Luke gave us a little bit of life there at the end, a little just going in and kind of operating like a veteran. And so, you know, we got that, gave ourselves an opportunity there at the end to come back. Defense got the ball back for us time and again. Another similar kind of loss in that, you know, we're just not scoring enough. I mean, it's really hard to win in this league with 10 and 12 and 13 points. 13 wasn't enough.
The young quarterback in the game was sacked 6 times. Last week against Cleveland, the offensive line I thought played really well, and then against the Texans, good defense, number one ranking, but certainly allowed way too much pressure on your young quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, before I can look at the tape, I don't know how much is need a quicker decision. I mean, you know, if you're bringing an extra guy and you're bringing 5 or 6, then typically there's a one-on-one matchup somewhere where you've got to win. And, that's what you're looking for. That's what we got most of the day. And we just didn't make them pay for that near enough. I mean, they're manned up outside, just, bringing guys. And we've got to make them pay for that. And we weren't able to do that.
Question's going to be out there. Everybody's going to ask it. You know, is Blaine your starting quarterback going into the game next week?
Yeah, I know when I make a move like that, that's going to be asked. And, Blaine's our starting quarterback. Luke's our backup. And, you know, Luke gave us a lift today coming in and in the back end of this football game. I'm not prepared to say anything other than that right now.
Defensively, 5 starters missing from a couple weeks ago. Heck of an effort. Scored on defense with a guy that wasn't even on your roster a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I can't say enough about really the will, the collective will of this football team. I thought it was very appropriate on a day where we're honoring our military. And nobody sacrificed more than the men and women that we were honoring today. I wanted very badly to give them a victory. The way the guys are sacrificing and preparing and working hard, is what you need to see. And we're just coming up a little bit short, not able to enjoy it right now. But, that part has really been pretty outstanding. I've told our guys, hang on to that. Don't let go. It's right. Right is right. We don't see the fruits yet, but it's the right way to approach it. And that's what allows a guy like Ashton Yabodi to come in here and join us and pick it up and kind of we can keep on keeping on.
Any injuries to report?
No. Russell got the air knocked out of him, wind knocked out of him. He was able to return. I think we had a couple guys that were talking about tightness during the game. So hopefully they made it through and didn't get a significant setback.
All right. Thank you, Jack.
Okay, Joe.
All right. That's the head coach and the Bubba Burgers head coach's report with Jeff and Jack in every Winn-Dixie postgame show. Also, the injury report brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation. Over the course of the Winn-Dixie postgame show, a lot of numbers, all of them, will be brought to you by our friends at Wells Fargo here at the stadium. Fans, you can text BBQ to 72239 and enter for a chance to win the Sonny's Game Ball Delivery Contest. You could hand the game ball to the ref at the start of the next Jags home game. We'll take this break and return more on the Winn-Dixie postgame show after this quick timeout on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Winn-Dixie postgame show. Jaguars fall to the Texans 20-13 at home today. Go back to the locker room where Jeff Loggeman is standing by. Loggs.
Thank you, Brian. Here with Uche Wanari. And Uche, it's got to be a tough one to swallow. You know, offensively, you guys struggled a little bit today and just couldn't find a way to generate points.
This game's about making plays, and it's about converting on third down and, and you know, getting explosives and putting yourself in the best position to score, and then to get in the end zone and score touchdowns. And you know, for whatever reason, you know, this has been a season where we haven't been able to do that as well as we have in the past. today, you know, it was just, you know, a leak here, a leak there. Things just kind of never really started clicking. We had a couple of drives where we moved the ball well, but, you know, weren't able to capitalize down at the goal line and get 7 points. I think that really would have, you know, kind of turned the game right there early in the first half.
You guys certainly didn't have any problems running the football. Maurice Jones-Drew has 99 yards. But the passing game, I mean, there were 7 sacks. The quarterback, there's a change made there to Luke McCown. From an offensive lineman standpoint, you just keep rolling with the punches, I would assume.
You know, you got to play with pride. And I think when you go out there on Sunday and you're an offensive lineman, your goal is to keep defensive players off your quarterback and to provide lanes for your running back to run through. And, you know, today, whether it was because of coverage or, you know, individual, you know, pass rush issues, you know, we weren't able to protect Blaine as well as we should. And, you know, that falls on the O-line. And a piece of that fall, you know, it goes around. You know, Blaine can go everywhere. But, you know, when people look at it, they're going to say, you know, how was the blocking on that play? So I just think as a unit, you know, we got to take pride in that. You know I do. I take, you know, 100% pride. I know everybody on the line does take pride in it. You know, we never want Blaine getting hit. We don't want him, you know, running for his life back there. And today was just one of those days where it just didn't get done.
All right. Thank you, Jay.
No problem.
All right. This portion of the Winn-Dixie postgame show brought to you by Cars.com. We take a look at the Wells Fargo stats check. And Blaine Gabbert, 13 of 29, 136 yards. No touchdowns, 1 interception, 44.6 passer rating, and it must be mentioned that he threw a touchdown pass. It was just simply dropped by Mercedes Lewis. That would have improved those numbers. He was sacked 7 times today. He was not good, but the offensive line was not either, and so that's something that needs to be looked at and evaluated before we pass any judgment at all. Maurice Jones-Drew, 18 for 99 yards, a 5.5 per carry average, had a 29-yard run today. No one else really had anything worth mentioning. Deji Kareem, 2 rushes for a loss of 2 yards. Montel Owens, 2 losses, rushes for a loss of 2 yards. And the Jaguars ran the ball for 105 total. You know, when you look at the rushing numbers, you look at what the run defense did. Jaguars won that battle today. They held the Texans to only 88 rushing yards. Arian Foster, 65 yards total, 3.0 per carry. Ben Tate, 26 yards total today. Jaguars did a job on the number one tandem in the NFL. And one of the linebackers responsible for that is with Jeff right now, Logs.
Thank you, Brian. Here with Russell Allen. Russell, you guys is the defense, you know, number 3 defense coming in this game, and all of a sudden you lose 5 starters, and you're one of the guys that has to step up and certainly do an effective job against the Texans, and it has to be disappointing. You know, you do a pretty good job stopping Arian Foster and Tate. You score on defense, but you don't get the win.
I mean, yeah, it's frustrating to lose no matter how you do it. Obviously, our goal defensively is to shut them out always, you know, and whatever it takes to win, score on defense, keep them off the scoreboard any way we can. And they got 20 points today, so it was more than we wanted to give up.
This defense going forward, you're not going to have Derek Cox. You're not going to have Rasheen Mathis. You're not going to have Clint Session. Mel Tucker, I thought, has done a tremendous job with you guys this year. He's kind of taken over. He's making all the calls. It's his defense. And you guys got games to play, and unfortunately they're not going to have a lot of meaning. But the pride factor would have to be a big, big part for your defense.
Yeah, I mean, they may not mean anything in the standings, but they mean something to us. I mean, we're professionals. We take pride in what we do, and we're going to come out. You're going to get the best from us every week. Mel Tucker has done a great job of allowing us just to play fast, play aggressive. We've had a next man up philosophy all year long, and that's where we're at now. We got some guys banged up, but we got the next man up, and you saw it today. We played hard and played well.
How frustrating is it to play defense like you guys are playing, but offensively you're just not finding a way to get points?
You know, like I said, it's just frustrating to lose, no matter how you do it. It's frustrating if you're playing well on one side and not the other. Regardless, you know, it's just if it's not clicking, it's frustrating. And you know, with all the work we put in, you know, we want to win.
Thank you, Russell.
You got
all right. That's Russell Allen again. The Jaguars hold Arian Foster to 65 yards on 22 carries. He did score a touchdown. that tied the ball game up early on. But other than that, they really did not let him get free. You know, he's also one of their top receivers. He had 7 catches today, but only 24 yards for an average of 3.4 yards per reception. Remember, he came in averaging 14.3 per reception. So the Jaguars did a nice job on Arian Foster. And, you know, look, you can look at this a couple of different ways. Obviously, when you're playing with your third-team quarterback, T.J. Yates, you're not going to throw the ball all over the field, and they didn't. Owen Daniels had 4 catches for 31 yards. We mentioned Foster. Andre Johnson did not have a catch until the second half. He had 2 for 22. Obviously, he is a star player coming back from a hamstring injury. Jaguars did a pretty nice job in the passing game on Matt Leinart before he got hurt. He did end up with a touchdown pass, and everything was short, dink and dunk underneath, so his rating is 110.1. It'll look really good, but he wasn't moving that team up and down the field like the numbers might suggest. Jaguars defense did a nice job, and Ashton Yabody led the way. 8 tackles, 1 for a loss, 1 shared force fumble with Paul Posluszny, and then a 38-yard touchdown. The only touchdown the Jaguars scored today, we will name him our Bueller Swiss Watch MVP. It's the official watch of the Jaguars. You can get yours at Jacobs Jewelers in Jacksonville, Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, Lorraine's Diamond Tree in Middleburg, Treasures Fine Jewelers in Palatka, and J. Carbone Jewelers in Valdosta. Final look at the team stats for you. Jaguars 255 yards of total offense today, 150 from the passing game, 105 from the ground attack, only 5 of 19 on third down, and that's just not good enough to keep drives moving along. Just doesn't happen very well. For the Texans, 215 yards. Jaguars did a nice job on them, 127 from the passing game. Here's the key, 88 yards on the ground. They came in averaging 158, and so the Jaguars hold them to about 70 yards below their average, and Jeff Lagerman is down there. And by the way, this is on a defensive line that was playing without Matt Roth, without Terrence Knighton, and of course Clint Sessions is a big part of that. C.J. Mosley is with Jeff Lagerman to discuss it.
All right, thank you, Brian. C.J., Brian just talked about the numbers that the Texans had been averaging offensively, and you guys held them about 70 yards less than what they had been averaging, but it probably doesn't make it feel any better, does it?
No, not at all. Most important thing is the W, and, you know, we didn't get it. So in our defense, we was just concentrating on doing us and playing D and playing hard.
You guys had a number of starters out, and Mel Tucker had been preaching this week about the next man up philosophy, and you know, you've been one of those guys for a couple weeks now, taking the place of Terrence Knighton, and you guys defensively held the Texans to, you know, just an opportunity to win, but you guys, your offense just couldn't generate points. It has to be frustrating that the defense is playing well, but you're just not able to generate points.
You know, we just got to continue to play well as a defense and as a team, and just, you know, try to feed off each other. Whereas defense making a good play, offense making a good play, or special teams making a play, we all three got to, you know, show up on Sunday. So.
Defensive line-wise, Joe Cullen obviously has had a big influence on you, and a lot of the defensive linemen does a great job of coaching the defensive line. But the thing that has impressed me most is that when Terrence Knighton hasn't been in there, you've been in there, and then Legere Douzable, hey, flexibility, plays in, plays tackle, whatever. And heck, looking at the corner situation, you lose Derek Cox, you lose Rasheen Mathis, and Ashton Yabody, a guy that wasn't even on the roster, all of a sudden steps up and has a huge play to where you score on defense. When that happened early in this ballgame, I thought, oh, here we go.
You know, that's just, you know, hats off to the coaches, just, you know, trusting our guys. Just having faith in our guys to come in and make plays. You know, one guy goes out, next guy to step up, and, you know, you got to come in and do your job.
Thank you, CJ.
No problem. Thank you.
All right, that's CJ Mosley with Jeff Lagerman in the locker room. Jaguars again fall 20-13. They are now 3-8 on the season with 5 games remaining. And time now for a Bud Play of the Game brought to you by Budweiser, who reminds you the great times are waiting. Please designate a driver. Jaguars went 3-out, punted the ball in their opening series. And on the second play of the Texans' first series, Paul Posluszny and Ashton Yabody gave us our Bud Play of the Game. Toss sweep, and Foster is trying to stretch it. The Jaguars bottle him up. The ball is free on the field, and it's picked up, and it's going back the other way. This looks like a touchdown for Ashton Yabody. It is on the fumble. He took it all the way back. Touchdown, Jacksonville. That our Bud Play of the Game. A lot of people to thank for their help in producing our broadcast today. First, and foremost, the good folks at CopyFax, Jason DeFore and his team for printing our game charts. They are the exclusive and only provider of business machines to the Jacksonville Jaguars ever. Wes Bowen, canine officer, JSO, always here at the stadium, jumped up here into the booth. Talk about double duty. Wes, thanks so much. We really enjoyed having you in the booth today, one of JSO's finest on duty. As always, we go nowhere without Scott Kushner behind us, making sure that everything is flowing right, and simply the best producer in the world. Radio, television, film. I'm exaggerating. That's hyperbole. But he's darn good at radio, folks, so we'll keep him. He's Joe Fortunato, and he is undefeated. And so with that, we will send it down to Cole and Marco with more of the Winn-Dixie postgame show. I think they're undefeated as well, aren't they? They're very, very good. They will keep dissecting this game, and then they will take your calls, questions, comments, and likely complaints in the scoreboard show. So that'll do it for us. Final score, final time, 20-13. Texans escape with the win from Everbank Field. Good night, everybody, on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back. Winn-Dixie postgame show now from Jaguars Central. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here after the Jaguars 20-13 loss to the Houston Texans. Jaguars fall to 20-13. We will be joined by Brad Meester, the all-time Jaguar, the most games ever played in a Jaguars uniform here in a little bit. And that happened today as he surpassed Jimmy Smith's record. But, Marco, I want to kind of reset the season here from here on out. One of the things I didn't want to do too early, despite how things might have looked or the direction they were going in, was start to talk about the season as, not being a playoff-chasing season.
Mm-hmm.
But now that they are mathematically eliminated from winning the division, not the wild card, but winning the division, I think we can start really focusing on this and say,
I think that's fair.
The rest of the season, what should the Jaguars try to accomplish for the betterment of this franchise, in the big picture?
Get a win. Just win a football game and allow it to be done with Gabbert. I think, they spent a lot on having him, drafting him so high. He's the face of the franchise. He's going to be the face of the franchise, at least for the next couple of years. It's giving him as many opportunities as possible. Allow him to go out and win and see some improvement at some point in time in the areas that have been extremely deficient, specifically within the wide receiving core. Nothing more than just catching some balls on a consistent basis.
I've already gotten some tweets and so forth, folks jumping in on social media talking, say, hey, it's time to get rid of Gabbert. Get rid of him now.
Definitely not. It wasn't a good day for him, and that's going to be the case even when he goes further along in his career. Brady doesn't have a good day all the time. Peyton Manning, every day wasn't a good day for the guy. So this was not a good day, but I do not agree with taking him out. He has to learn how to fight through these type of days. And specifically, if you're going to go to a no-huddle situation where the team has not done well with that all season long and an opportunity for him to get better at that, where you feel you got five games left, you may have another situation where you're going to have to do 2 minutes. And here was an opportunity to work on it. So what you going to do later on? Take Gabbert out again at the moment of 2 minutes? I completely do not agree with that, especially being a rookie. I can see looking for a spark with a guy that's a veteran that hasn't been getting it done.
And Luke did provide a bit of a spark, came in with 7 of 11.
But who's to say it wouldn't have been the same deal? You changed the tempo of the game. You caught the Texans in the
situation. You've been talking about tempo quite a bit with this offense.
Exactly. And by going no huddle, you picked up the tempo. You shown some urgency. You could have done the same thing with Gabbert. Although we did see and we're noticing, we talked about it last week, that he has to get better on being able to stand in there in the face of the rush. After getting hit once or twice, he started watching the rush, rushing throws, a couple of sacks weren't anyone else's fault, but probably more so his more than anybody else's.
All right, we'll take time out. When we come back, the grizzled veteran center, Brad Meester, will join us. Set the Jaguars record today for most games played in a Jaguars uniform. We'll hear from number 63, the Northern Iowa product. When we come back, GEICO can help you save on more than just car insurance. Call 1-800-947-AUTO for a free quote on motorcycle, renter's insurance, and more. And don't worry, GEICO won't throw a flag for excessive celebration. We're back with more here on the Winn-Dixie postgame show right after this timeout on Jaguars Radio. We welcome you back to the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. Wednesday, November 30th, that's this Wednesday, the Auto Spot Tire Pros at 9718 Touchton Road in Jacksonville invite you to join them for Cookies with the Jaguars Rookies from noon till 2. They'll be signing autographs, sharing cookies, and giving you a chance to win an autographed football and club seats to the Monday night game against the Chargers. All right, here on the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show, pleased to be joined by Jaguars center Brad Meester. Let's talk some positive stuff first here. I'll soften you up that way.
All right, good.
And I want to think back to when you were drafted. I remember talking to you first training camp. And I think since you have been basically this, you've taken the same approach. I know you certainly have a greater understanding of the game now after all these years. But you've been a very steady guy in the locker room. You've been a steady guy on the field. And you've been able to, through coaching changes, offensive coordinator changes, quarterback changes, as you look back on this here, just looking back at now that you have the Jaguars record for most games played, is there something that is a common thread that you see through this that you've been able to be the, you know, the guy who has sustained through this whole thing?
I think since day one till now, you know, I try to keep the same routine. I mean, I don't ever, you know, you can ask my wife. I mean, I do the same things throughout the week. Whether it's game preparation or just getting my body ready, things like that. And then, you know, for me, whether it's on the practice field, in the meeting room, or at home, I'm just trying to do my best, do what's right. That's just kind of the way I was brought up. That's the way my high school coach taught me, to do what's right. You know, be a good person and do what's right. And I try to do that, whether it's in the locker room or anything else. Whatever I try to do is just do my best and see what happens.
How many times have I asked you the question after the last game of the year, so you're going to be back next year?
I'm sure you're going to ask me that question again this year.
I might just give up on it, though. I mean, but I'm sure there have been some times where you honestly didn't know what the off season would have in store, and yet they keep bringing you back, and you keep going out there. And you might be in the midst of a stretch of a couple of years here of your best football.
There were stretches there. You know, obviously early on, you know, I felt like, oh, I'm going to keep being back. And then obviously as you get older, I got to that stretch where I didn't know what was going to happen. I really thought, you know, this might be it in a Jaguar uniform. And just thankful that they brought me back. And then, you know, just went out and did my best and was able to get another year and then another one. And I'm hopefully I can continue to do that. I'd really like to be able to. I love playing for this team in this town, and I'd love to do it as long as I can. As long as they're willing to keep me here, I'd love to keep doing it.
Yeah, you've been here for 12 seasons. You've seen and been involved with some of the best seasons that the Jaguars have had. What is it going to take at this point to get the team back to being a legitimate contending football team for the playoffs? That, you know, that's the thing that the fans are really starving for.
You know, I think we have a tremendous team here. Out of all the teams I've been with, this is a tremendous team. It's the right group of guys, because when faced with adversity, like obviously we're in right now, you know, you can have two different teams. You can have a team that just shuts down and gives up, or a team that just continues to fight with great character, and that's what we've got. And that's what I like about this team. You know, we're so close in so many ways. We just got those little things that we need to fix. I mean, you know, offensively, we've got to find a way to start putting some points on the board. We've got to be better moving the ball and better in the red zone. We haven't done what we need to do this year, and we're going to continue to work at it and get it right.
One of the things that a couple times during the season has been the two-minute offense where the offense has sputtered. What type of things can be done to help that out? I mean, I see here in this game, you know, it took Gabbert out, but and then went into a no huddle similar to a 2-minute type of offense where it would have been an opportunity for him to get some more reps. What is it that's being done or can be done to kind of help those situations when you get it? Because you got five more games. I'm pretty sure there's going to be some more 2-minute opportunities.
Oh, definitely, man. There's usually one in every game, at least a couple of them in every game. You know, we're continuing to practice it. I mean, we practice it twice every week and continuing to work it. You know, I think that's the way you got to do it. I mean, you just got to continue to work it, to continue to practice it, and it's got to be perfect practice. You know, you got to do it the right ways. Go back, look at it in the film, say, hey, this is what we got to do better, and continue to refine it. It's going to get there. We just had, you know, we've had a few games where we just came up just short, but it's there. I mean, you just got to believe it's there.
I thought in the midst of all this conversation about, you know, drops that the receivers have had and so forth, I thought maybe you were going to come up with a reception there early in the game on a tip pass. Did you knock it down, or did you have your hands on it?
It hit my hands. That was actually the first. I've recovered fumbles before, never had a catch. And I saw it. I heard it hit a hand. I looked up, and there it was. And I went to get it. I should have stretched my arms out to grab it.
You got to come back for the ball, Brad.
I did. I got to go up and grab it at the highest point, and I let it come down. And as it hit my hands, I got drilled, and it dropped. I couldn't believe it.
Your days as a deep threat wide receiver ended just like that.
I think I was visioning end zone and dances and different stuff, and I dropped it. It hit me.
Well, all right. Last thought here on the quarterback. Obviously, when you see a rookie quarterback, he's had his ups and downs. And then he gets pulled today after, what was it, six sacks of him today. Where is he in this whole thing? What does he have to do here the rest of the season to make this season a springboard for the next couple of years?
I think he's been doing the right things. He's always approached it the right way. He comes in, works hard at practice. You know, I see him in that meeting room all the time studying film. He approaches it the right way in the huddle. That the energy and the leadership that he brings in that huddle, he's always doing it the right way. You know, sometimes it just takes time. And I think he's a tremendous quarterback. You know, one of the best I've seen. And he's going to be a great quarterback. You know, it just sometimes it takes a little bit of time. And I know he's doing all the right things. And so I have all the confidence in the world. We all do, because I know he's doing the right stuff to get there.
You had some folks in from Parkersburg today?
I had my folks in town, yes.
Yeah. They came in for the historic game.
They did. It actually worked out nice. Well, we've had different people coming in. We have another kid. So we've had different people coming in to help my wife with the children.
And that's certainly a good enough reason. But, hey, nice that they could come in.
That was nice. It worked out that they could come for this game, too.
All right. Brad, thanks a lot. I'll see you in a few weeks, and I'll ask the same question.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
Brad Meester, Jaguars. Mr. Jaguar, as Brian Sexton has dubbed him. He's now played in more games than anybody in Jaguars history. All right, we'll take time out. When we come back, Will Middleton joins us. Talk about the defense's effort today. Will he shut down a Houston team, just allowing 215 yards, despite missing five starters on defense? Back with more of the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show right after this timeout here on the Jaguars Radio Network. Welcome back to Winn-Dixie Postgame Show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here after the Jaguars' 20-13 loss to the Houston Texans. Joined now by Jaguars cornerback William Middleton. And, all right, five defensive starters out. And I know all week you guys were saying next man up, next man up. But, you know, I was not alone in thinking, yeah, next man up. But five starters out, and you guys go out there and put out, you know, another terrific performance statistically.
I've kind of been next man up this whole season. Yeah. You know, with Derek going down early and Sheen going down, you know, in the Colts game, you know, I've kind of been in and out, you know, so I kind of dubbed myself as a starter to go ahead and get in there. But, you know, to be honest with you, all the guys know the defense. You know, they know their responsibilities. And, you know, we commingle very well. So, you know, yes, it is next man up, but at the same time, that next man I trust just as much as I trust the other guy.
And today you mentioned 215 yards given up to the Texans, 105 on the run, and going through quarterback after quarterback, and you look at how different this division now looks. This time, from the beginning of December last year, when the quarterbacks were Peyton Manning, David Garrard, Matt Schaub, and Kerry Collins, now the quarterbacks in the league are, in this division, are, we think, T.J. Yates now, right, because Leinart's out, Curtis Painter, Blaine Gabbert.
Slash McCown.
Well, okay, but Gabbert's the starter, right? And Matt Hasselbeck, and it may be Locker pretty soon. I mean, things have changed quite a bit in this division as far as the offenses you guys are facing week in and week out.
Yeah, I mean, they really have. But, you know, to be quite honest with you, it's football. You know, and you know, different organizations do things differently. You know, but to be quite honest with you, I think it's great to see these different quarterbacks. You know, because they you may have different faces behind the center, but outside they still have the same weapons. You know, they still have the same running backs. So you know, it does come down to the decision making of the quarterbacks, and you know, if one is as sharp as the other.
But, you know, at the same time, you know, some of these guys still have big guns. You know, obviously in Houston, you know, everybody knows their offense. You know, even in Indy, you know, they got three dynamic receivers, if you ask me. You know, and then, you know, in Tennessee when Kenny was healthy. And then, you know, of course, with Chris Johnson back there, you know. So, you know, it may be different faces, but, you know, controlling. But, you know, they still have the same weapons.
Well, you see a lot of different combinations in the defensive back, specifically at the corner now that, at least today, watching it with Cox and Mathis being out with you, Rutland, Coleman, Ubodie. What are the situation or circumstances when you guys, or you know, I guess for you specifically, when you're in the field, on the field, off the field, and in the, which different packages, I guess, are you most comfortable with at the same time?
To be honest with you, I'm not sure. I mean, I didn't know I was supposed to come off the field today, but. That you know, it surprised me, but you know, that's a coach's decision.
Right.
Obviously, you know, I guess it was made on the fly because I didn't know it was happening. But you know, I'm gonna do whatever I can do.
Right.
You know, if that means defend the pass. If that means come in and take out Foster, you know, in the run game, then that's what I'm gonna do. Right. You know, because I've gotten very few opportunities, I've tried to take full advantage of each and every one I've gotten.
Yeah, I mean, you've done a great job. I mean, I would have to say you've every time you came in, because you came in for Derek Cox, who played the majority of the time when he was out, outstanding job. When he held that side, then Mathis goes down, you come right back in. You've definitely been Johnny on the spot during the course of this whole deal. So, I mean, like I said, it was really odd to just see how the combinations within the whole secondary. Now, was it just the depending upon what you said, you didn't know, but what were the circumstances or the situation? Was it nickel, dime? When they made those type of changes,
I think I want to say it was maybe a nickel. You'd have to ask Jack or Mel. it came as a surprise to me. You'd have to ask those two. I wasn't really sure myself.
Right. It was Military Appreciation Day today, which I know means a lot to you.
Oh man, I don't even want to, you know, want to touch on that. It really does mean a lot to me, because you know my brother. You know, my little brother, my little big brother, you know, he's 6'4", took all the height in the family. But, you know, right now he's stationed out in San Diego, and he was able to come down for Thanksgiving and be at this game. And then, you know, he's getting ready to go over to the Middle East. His ship is getting deployed, I believe in March, if I'm not mistaken. But just to think about him and the service that he's committed to. I know we had a lot of guys out there from the military, both past, present, and probably some future Navy SEALs.
They enlisted 150 guys at halftime. So
there you go, in the future. It means a lot, you know, because we talk about this game of football. You know, football is big. It's the number one sport in America. Everybody wants to see football. But football is nothing compared to what these guys are doing and the service that they're doing for us. We play football because of them. You know, because of guys like my brother, you know, because of the guys that were there today and women. And, you know, in the grand scheme of things, you know, my brother's service to this country by far outweighs my contribution to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, well said. That's a good way to wrap things up. William, we appreciate it. Keep up the good work on defense. We'll see you in the locker room.
Good luck the rest of the way, man.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
William Middleton, Jaguars cornerback, joining us here on the Winn-Dixie postgame show. We'll take time out when we come back. The Sexton summary also still to come. The Baptist Health coverage of the game and the protector of the game. It's all straight ahead, plus the good, the bad, and the ugly. This is the Winn-Dixie postgame show right here on Jaguars Radio. We welcome you back to the Winn-Dixie postgame show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here after the Jaguars lose to the Houston Texans 20-13. Only 3 points scored after halftime. So if you had an early lunch, late lunch or an early dinner you had to get to, you didn't really miss much in the second half, offensively speaking, yeah. Anyway.
And that's for both teams, actually.
Yeah, the only 3 points of the second half were Josh Kobe's 35-yard field goal. Time now for the Metro PCS Sexton summary, the highlights and lowlights of today's game through the calls of the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton. Jaguars went three plays and out on their first drive, and Houston had the ball in pretty good field position, starting at their own 41-yard line when the Jaguars defense made the first big play of the game.
Toss sweep, and Foster is trying to stretch it. The Jaguars bottle him up. The ball is free on the field, and it's picked up, and it's going back the other way. This one's like a touchdown for Ashton Ubodie. It is on the fumble.
Jaguars saw the fumble by Arian Foster forced by Paul Posluszny, and the first defensive touchdown for the Jaguars since Rasheen Mathis had an interception return for a touchdown back in 2008. Jaguars had a 7-0 lead. But two drives later, Houston able to mount an 8-play, 67-yard march. Took almost 4 minutes off the first half clock. Arian Foster had a 43-yard run on 3rd-and-2, which was a big one. Then Foster dove in from a yard out to make it a 7-7 ballgame. After the Jaguars took a 10-7 lead on Josh Gobe's 21-yard field goal that followed a Mercedes Lewis drop in the end zone, Houston got the ball back and set up by a 42-yard punt return by Jacoby Jones. Houston would take the lead.
Here's play action, back to throw, line it with pressure in his face, finds a man, it's Dreesen, he's going to the end zone, touchdown.
Made it a 14-10 ball game. Following possession, bad pass by Blaine Gabbert, hung up in the air. Jason Hill not able to out-battle Jonathan Joseph for the interception. And Neil Rackers able to capitalize with a 53-yard field goal. Scobie then would miss from 55 yards wide right, giving Rackers the opportunity to hit one from 33 just before the end of the half. In the second half, as mentioned, Leinart was out, T.J. Yates was in, then Gabbert was out, Luke McCown was in. It all resulted in just a Josh Scobie 35-yard field goal. Jaguars couldn't close the gap. They lose it 20-13 to the Houston Texans. That's the Metro PCS Sexton summary. With no signed contracts, Metro PCS lets you unlimit yourself. Back with the coverage of the game and the protector of the game right after this timeout here on the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show on Jaguars Radio. We welcome you back to the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show. Culpepper, Marco Coleman here. Time now for the Baptist Health coverage of the game. Baptist Health, Jacksonville Circle of Care. How about the coverage of the game today, Marco?
Well, those two bookend, stand-in corners, Ubody and Middleton, did a great job. You know, you figured the passing game was pretty much non-existent, although it was backups at quarterback, too. Outstanding receiving core out on the other side for Houston, and those guys held them in check.
Yeah, and still was Andre Johnson out there.
Yeah, like I said, they still had some quality guys out there that could catch the ball, but they did a good job of maintaining and keeping those guys under wraps.
All right, Baptist Health coverage of the game brought to you by Baptist Health, Jacksonville Circle of Care. Now, the protector of the game is brought to you by the Insurance Office of America. Who's your protector of the game?
Well, the usual suspect, Mr. Greg Jones, Mr. Laid a Hat. I mean, the unsung hero, I think, of the running game for Maurice Jones-Drew. I think you take Greg Jones out of this thing, I don't think you have as much success for Maurice Jones-Drew. This guy, you know, he hits guys. His guy does not. He takes a guy out of the running game, and a lot of times he's the guy that finds the hole for MJD.
Just so follow 33.
Just follow 33. I mean, he aggravates linebackers week in after week.
All right, season ticket holders get paid at the pump when you buy 10 gallons or more of Gate gasoline. Show your Jaguars rewards card and receipt to the cashier for your coupon worth $2 in Jagbucks, redeemable for game day concessions and merchandise. We'll take time out, come back with the good, the bad, and the ugly. This is the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show after the Jaguars lose 20-13 to the Houston Texans right here on the Jaguars Radio Network. Back on the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show after the Jaguars lose it 20-13 to the Houston Texans. Marco Coleman has today's good, bad, and ugly.
What was good? The play of the next guys up. I mean, Dusable came in, and I mean, he was stout. A couple tackles for losses. The touchdown that was scored by defense, it was set up by him. The way he just pushed that guy back, and then, you know, Ubody being in a position for the fumble recovery on the touchdown. I mean, these guys, Middleton played outstanding. I mean, all the guys, they did a really good job coming in and standing in for those guys that were out. Defense almost didn't miss a beat. Bad, the pass protection. You know, whether it was, you know, the quarterback, the offensive line, the wide receivers, it was terrible. To give up 7 sacks is just unacceptable. And also the pass rush. They didn't touch the quarterbacks. You know, our quarterback got smashed, and their quarterbacks, I don't think they even had to. They're not going to have to wash their uniforms this week. So, and ugly, which I'm sick and tired of, which I'm sure everyone else is, the receiving core, including the tight ends. I mean, the interception that was thrown, I'm not even going to put that on Gabbert. He threw the ball up, and a wide receiver in the NFL has to go up and fight for the ball. If nothing else, stop a guy from taking an interception. Tight end in the end zone, you got to catch the ball. You're getting paid millions. catch the ball. Come on, guys. And it's ridiculous. You know, the sacks even were because of the guys couldn't get open. You know, the guy can't stand back there and hold the ball for 20 minutes. It's just not going to happen. You got to work to get yourself open. There were plenty of times where, you know, 30 seconds in that the offensive line were trying to hold guys. Nobody could get open. So that wide receiving core has got to be a main focus in order to help Blaine Gabbert to continue to be a better quarterback. Yeah. Get that done.
No doubt about it. All right, that is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Next week, Jaguars on Monday Night Football to take on the San Diego Chargers. We'll see if things look any different between now and then. Never know. We'll see. Stick around in Jacksonville. We'll take your calls coming up on the Southern Four Dealer Scoreboard Show. That's straight ahead. You can also tweet to me at Cole Pepper. And we will be discussing where the Jaguars go from here. Jaguars lose today 20-13 to the Houston Texans. Blaine Gabbert sacked six times, lifted in the game for Luke McCown, who came in, provided a little bit of a spark, but it just was not enough, and the issues, believe me, are not just confined to what's happening with the quarterback situation. When we come back, I'll ask Marco Coleman who he expects to see under center on Monday night for the Jaguars against the San Diego Chargers. Winn-Dixie postgame show wraps up. Southern Four Dealer Scoreboard Show is coming up next. Thanks for listening to the Winn-Dixie postgame show right here on the Jaguars Radio Network.